Shalom, welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm 148. There's a very moving and hauntingly powerful Yom Kippur prayer called Asher Ometz Tehillatecha, which reflects the dynamic between God, his heavenly beings, and us. The psalm begins each phrase with the notion that God created the most dazzling and obedient heavenly angels, each one with a picture of beauty, each one diligently responding to God's word. Yet, Vavita Tehillah, despite the shortcomings of man, when it comes to seeking praise, God turns to humans, capricious, unreliable, and unsure. Nevertheless, he seeks our praise. Perhaps because of our free will, our capacity to yield to our desire, and then capacity to rise above our frailty, we're rewarded by God, who desires to hear our praise, the praise of lowly humans. Perhaps this medieval poem was drawing on the sentiments of Psalm 148. Our psalm, expanding the general motif from Psalm 145, Ashrei, of convincing humankind to unite in praising God, uses parallelism to depict the ultimate contrast between the beings above and the ones below. This contrast fuels our spirit and reminds us of our innate power to rise up and connect to God in the highest levels. The psalm divides almost equally into two sections. The first half describes the celestial spheres, the second, the human beings. What's the relationship between each section? Hallelujah, hallelujah, Adonai min ha-shamayim, hallelujah ba-mermim. Praise the Lord from the heavens, from the heights. Hallelujah, kol malachav, hallelujah, kol tzva'av. His angels praise his host. Hallelujah, shemesh v'yareach, hallelujah, kol kol chayor. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Hallelujah, shmei ha-shamayim, v'mayim shmei ha-shamayim. Praise in the name, praise the heavens of the heavens and the waters that are above the heavens. And it says, Ya'alu et shem Adonai ki hu tzivva v'nivrau. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Vayimedem la'ad le'olam chok natam lo yavor. And he established them forever. He made the decree that they shall not pass. Then it says, Ha'alu et Adonai min ha'aretz. Tanani b'chol tomot. Praise the Lord from the earth, crocodiles in the deep. Eish shavarad shav v'kitor ruach sarav shedvaro, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Harim v'chol gvaot, etzpri v'chol arazim. Mountains and hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. Chaya v'chol behema, remes v'tzipor kanaf. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged birds. Malchei eretz v'chol lu'umim, sarim v'chol shatei aretz. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all the judges of the earth. Bachurim v'gam bitulot, zakenim im narim. Young men and also virgins, old men and children. Yahalelu et shem Adonai, ki nizgav shmo levado, hodo al eretz v'shamayim. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. The conclusion is, Yaren kerem le'avot yalele chol chasidav, levnei Yisrael am kravo hallelujah. He also exalts the horn of his people of praise for all the pious ones, for the children of Israel, people near to him, praise the Lord. The psalm is almost perfectly parallel. Both sections begin with praising God. Both offer a reason for that praise, and both list the subjects who are praising. When viewed side by side, there seem to be only minor differences between each segment. Should we conclude that there's a parallel between the heavenly spheres and humankind? The answer might be found in the differences between the two sides of the psalm. These words represent the major distinction between the celestial spheres and the world below. Two major differences between the halves of the psalm both teach us that in the end, the heavenly bodies and earthly ones will never be the same in the eyes of God. The first distinction is in the order of the subjects who praise God. We would expect them to be perfectly parallel. Thus, since the first half begins with the angels and the armies of the Lord, the highest beings, we would expect the same order to be in the second half. However, it's the opposite. The highest form of being in the land, man, is mentioned last, not first. An additional inconsistency occurs in the culmination of each component of the psalm. The words Yahalelu et Shem Hashem, that appear in both halves. But the reason for the praise differs. Verse 5 instructs the heavenly host to praise in the name of God, Ki hu tziva v'nivro, for he commanded and they appeared. Verse 13, however, addresses the earthly beings. Yahalelu et Shem Hashem, ki nizgav shmo lo'ado, for his name alone is supreme. What's the difference? The human world, our world, can be defined by our wide spectrum of feelings and attitudes. It would be absurd to treat a human the same way as an angel. is treated, since humans have free will. It is precisely free will that the psalmist addresses. It's no coincidence that boys and girls, old and young, are listed here instead of just man. It seems impossible to think that they would all think one way, adhere to one message. But this is exactly the intention of the poet. He says, you're really not like the angels. You're not robots programmed to praise. You should praise God not just because he made you, but from your own personal subjective human recognition that keen is God Shmolo, though, that God's name alone stands. For this reason, there's no symmetry when it comes to portraying humans like the angels. In contrast to the celestial spheres that appear first in the psalm, humans will appear last. They will have to experience God in their lives and be convinced it is God before they praise. The symmetry is a mirage. It implies a commonality between angel and man when in fact none exists. Sure, the angelic praise is constant, perfect, eternal, but in the end, when the world below praises God, it will create a bridge between the two spheres, ultimately shining God's splendor on the world above and below. Hodo al eretz v'shamayim. His splendor is above the land and above the heavens. Psalm 148 expands on the fundamental question posed in the third verse of Psalm 145. Is man truly worthy to praise God? Perhaps an angel should do it more consistently, more majestically, more perfectly. Yet the psalm, through the use of poetic symmetry or asymmetry, proves that God does not seek the praise of celestial spheres, but of us, mortal human beings who are frail, weak, inconsistent, but ultimately have the capacity to rise above ourselves and touch the divine. From us, God wants praise.